podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. First one back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birdies to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show. Lead the pen, get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons. Another episode of Leave the Pin Podcast. Today, I am joined by Brian Van Dungeon. This is another episode of the My Course series. I believe we're up to number five or six right now. So we're plugging along with this. And we're going back to the state of New Jersey, our sister state right next door. And we're going to talk about Neshannock Golf Course. Brian, what's going on?
Hey, Dan, looking forward to talking about the course. And, you know, we're filming or recording this today. It's February 15th. It's 70 degrees in New Jersey. So I wish I was out there playing right now instead of talking with you. But here we are. We're going to talk about the course anyway.
Yeah. And I don't take that as any slight whatsoever. I had when I left work today, people were like, hey, you're going out to play today, aren't you? I'm like, no, like, actually, I'm not today. But yeah, this is one of the craziest winters I can remember in the Northeast.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, but I'll take it. You know, I got a membership for an indoor golf facility. Haven't had to really use it that much because it's been 55, 60 degrees all winter. So it's like, what am I doing here?
I did the same thing with my boys and I. And we've been going like religiously every Saturday. But then we go out to the course and then we play Sunday as well. I mean, it's just we're blessed. But I keep telling people, like, you can't get your hopes up because we're going to get effed by something in like late March, early April, where we get like 18 inches of snow.
Oh man. You know, I hope you're wrong, but it's going to happen, right?
I'll tell you a funny story. When my wife and I moved into our house, we moved in on April 14th, 2003, April 14th, 2003. And there was still snow on the ground here when we moved in.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm a recreation professional and for my real job. And, you know, we've definitely had some Aprils where, like, oh, we're trying to get soccer started, but there's a foot of snow on the ground still. So,
yeah.
I'm hoping it's not like that because I also, you know, want to get out and play some golf in April as opposed to let's post some active scores this season, right?
And that's not. Yeah, well, and you know what? It's crazy because you talk to people from like different areas of the country, and they're like, "Oh, what's your handicap out there?" I'm like, "Well, it hasn't changed. What are you talking about? Like, our handicap index is closed. Like, what do you mean it's closed?
Been the same since November.
It shuts down. Like, I've got 5 rounds in already this year, and that's insane. You know?
Yeah, unheard of.
Crazy. All right. So let's get to it. Neshannock Golf Course. I am semi familiar with it, but like I told you off air, I don't remember, you know, I'm semi familiar. I don't remember a damn thing about it, you know, except for a few things. So interested to learn about it. So first off, where are you located? You know, in the U.S., we've got people from every state listening here across the country, across the world. So kind of give people kind of zone them into where you're located in the U.S.
Yeah. So Central New Jersey, which if I say that and you have New Jersey listeners, some people will say that's not a real place, but people from Central Jersey say it's a real place. So basically, if you draw a line from New York City to Philadelphia, kind of halfway through that line is kind of where I'm at.
Okay. And then so how far is Neshannock from you?
About 20 minutes.
Okay. So close enough. So now is this like, you know, because we've talked to people on this My Course episode series, and for some people, it's their home course. For some people, it's been a course that, you know, it's been a bucket list course they've traveled to or whatnot. So what's your relationship with this course?
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up about 10 minutes away from it. It opened, 2004, I think. So, you know, basically throughout my high school career and up to now, it's kind of been where I played. And it's got, you know, the practice facility there. It's part of a county park commission. So there's also 4 other courses part of the park commission's kind of county facilities. So if it wasn't at Neshannock when I was a kid, it was at one of the other county courses that was run by the park commission. So it's definitely the flagship of the county of Somerset County, and you know, hosted so much tournaments and stuff. So it's definitely an exciting place to have seen grow throughout 2004 and on to now. So it's coming up on 20 years.
You know, it's kind of crazy because, like, with the housing market crash of 05 to, like, 08, you know, there were really no golf courses being built. Did So obviously this place was being constructed before all that happened. Everything went downhill. Did you see any degradation in the, you know, in the facilities there, in the maintenance, in the way the course looked over the years, or have they kind of kept it on the up and up all the way through?
I mean, man, 20 years ago is a long time, and I was just in high school. So I wasn't really, you know, I guess, yeah, I played golf in high school for the high school team and all that, but it wasn't, you know, I don't think I was crazy. It was as crazy as I am about it now. So, I mean, it's definitely, it's always in great shape. You're always going to get your money's worth there. For a public course, the greens can get kind of spicy. So it's always, you know, it's always a good place to go and hit some balls and walk around.
My son had a 9-hole tournament there once, and I believe did a drive, chip, and putt on the Academy course, which is a little 9-hole course there. So they've got 3 9s, right?
Yeah, there's 3 9s, 3 championship 9s. It's the Lake, the Ridge, and the Meadow are the 3 9s. So when they have tournaments there, they play it on the Meadow and the Lake 9s. Like state championships, high school tournaments, stuff like that. Then there's that 9-hole Academy course, which is, I think the longest hole is like 320 yards from the tips, if you want to call them that. but that's a great place to go and get, you know, the short game in, as opposed to just hitting chips and putts around a practice green. You're going to go out and play quick little 9 holes.
Now, we've got an old country club near us, Shawnee, that's held a PGA championship and stuff. And we play high school matches there and whatnot. And they've got a red, white, and blue course. But they never reverse the way that they route the nines together. Like, it's, you're always red to white, or you're always white to blue. Do they go by a pattern there with those three, like the Lake, Meadow, and the Ridge? Or, you know, like if you're making a tee time, are you going to know what nines you're playing?
You will. They post like the rotation schedule on the website. Yeah. Sometimes they double up the start. So there'll be Ridge to Meadow, but it'll also be Meadow to Lake at the same time to start. So sometimes it could be a 50-50 coin flip. You don't really know. but you can always call the pro shop and they'll tell you where they're going to put you.
One of the things I remember about it, it was just like these vast, expansive views. And you know, like, I'm from a pretty rural area in Northeast PA. I'm kind of used to that. When I think of Jersey, you know, like, my wife grew up in Randolph, like, Morris County, right? Morristown area. So I think of Jersey as, you know, being, I don't want to say urban, but just a lot more suburban. And there's so much room out there at Neshannock. Are the other county courses or municipally owned courses the same way?
I mean, it depends on where you are in the state.
I was thinking about those other ones.
So they're the other Somerset County ones. They're a little bit more. They're a little tighter. You know, they're not as much room. Neshannock, it's got some views for sure. It's on 350 acres of an old farm. So you're definitely gonna have some space out there. Yeah.
So obviously 100% public, right?
Yes.
All right. So where I grew up on Long Island, they used to do like these county passes or township passes that you needed to have, like you had to pay for that in order to play some of our county courses or our state park courses. Is that the same thing, or can I come from PA? Can someone come from California and pay the same rate as you? Or are you getting a discount because you're a Somerset County resident?
Right. So if you live in the county, and I think if you work in the county, you can get like a county card, we call them. It's like $50 for the year. Okay. What that gets you is like 7-day advance tee times and a discount. I think it's like $20 discount on a greens fees.
Okay.
So it's 100% worth it. Neshannock Valley tee times, they go quick. You got to get on 7 days at 8 o'clock the night before to get your tee time for the next time. So it's definitely worth it. Otherwise it's a 3-day advance tee time policy. So you gotta find somebody that, you know, that lives or works in the county and make sure they got one of those cards if you want to play.
Gotcha. And you know what's funny is I say that stuff and you say that, and people listen to this podcast, and there'll be people in different parts of the country that say to themselves, that's insane. Like, what do you mean you can't just walk up and get a tee time 15 minutes later, you know, or slam the trunk of your car, put your shoes on, and walk to the first tee? And I'll tell you what, like, I am completely spoiled with some of the courses by me. And funny story. I had never played as a solo by myself until I moved to Pennsylvania, because playing golf on Long Island, the state of New York, in New Jersey, it was always like you just said. It's, you know, like for us, it was the Bethpage reservation system. Right. All of our buddies are sitting on the phones, you know, trying to text each other like, you get anything?
Did you get it?
And it's wild. I came here to PA one time and I called a course. I said, hey, I was wondering if I can make a tee time for next week. The guy said, next week? And I was like, well, yeah, how early do I have to make him in advance? He's like, well, when do you want to play? I was like, well, I really want to play today. And he's like, well, come to the course. And
yeah, like, that just blows my mind, that stuff.
Yeah.
There's too many people here. That's the problem.
Yeah. Very, very heavily populated. So with that being said, do you know of any instances where there are walk-up tee times, or is that place in high season just stacked from, you know, 6:45 to 6:45?
Yeah, it's pretty stacked. I mean, you can get lucky, I guess, but I hardly ever see somebody walk up and be like, hey, let me get on.
And gotcha.
They're like, yeah, 4:30, you know,
right.
If you want to get nine in. But yeah, I you know, I always book a tee time. I mean, it's you could just look online and see people cancel and slide in real quick. So there's definitely opportunities, but walk-ups are tough.
And what about the academy course as well? Is that the same way, or is that a little bit more loose in terms of, you know, jumping on and practicing?
Yeah, that's a little bit more loose. I mean, I usually try to get there like a 5 o'clock, you know. If you get there 5 o'clock on a Saturday or a Sunday, there's going to be nobody out there. So you can kind of get out there, practice, do your own thing. Now that people are listening, they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah.
take my time.
Yeah, you'll rue the day that you
ruined it. But yeah, and if you go, I think that's kind of first come, first serve. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Like, you know, in the morning times, but I don't know if they have tee times for that, but. But that can get pretty crowded too. But fortunately, it's a good practice area, so you can hit some balls beforehand before you get out.
Yeah, it really is. What are they getting for tee time, you know, in the high season, cost-wise?
So it is, I think, $70 on a weekend. Okay. for county residents and $90 for non-residents.
Okay, and that's with cart, I guess?
That's with a cart, yeah. You have your choice of with cart or with cart. You can walk.
But you're paying $90 anyway.
Right.
Understood. Now, again, like I said, it was a 9-hole tournament when I was there last, probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Can you feasibly walk that course? Like, I understand, yes, you can walk any course, but that's a newer course. Like, 04 is a newer course. And
for sure.
You know how it is. A lot of these courses are built with expansion in mind, with housing developments in mind, but this one seems like it's kind of self-contained within that old farmland. So, like, is it a real laborious walk? Is it okay? Is it like, no, I've never even seen anyone walk out there?
No, you could definitely walk it. There's some of the tee to green or green to tee transitions, you know, can just because it's on a slope, basically, for the most part, the culls kind of run not up and down the slope. So when you're walking from the greens to the next tee, you may be going up the slope or back down the slope, but it's definitely doable. I mean, I walk it sometimes, especially, you know, now that COVID is no longer a thing, I guess. And you have to share a cart. If I just want to, you know, slide in as a single, I see a tee time opens up tomorrow. I don't want to share a cart with somebody, even though, you know, I'll walk. And a lot of people do walk, especially in the morning, you know, before it gets too hot. If you get the 7 a.m. tee time or 8 a.m. tee time, Definitely a good walk.
Gotcha. Now, we talked before about, you know, how nice the weather's been this winter, and it's been absolutely insane. It's a county course, so I'm going to make the assumption, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys are not open year-round there.
Then there's – Neshanic is open year-round.
Really?
Yep. And it's kind of amazing how good they keep it up for how – it's if it's open year-round – you're expected to get beat up, but it, I mean, once it gets to, you know, April, May, it's in good shape. So that's open year round. And then there's another one that's in the county that's open year round, and the other three close.
Oh, that's awesome. So have you been playing there this winter on the nice days we've had?
I haven't got out to the course, but I got out to the range once. Yeah.
Okay. And as far as the course goes in the wintertime, I mean, are we, obviously, we're in a very centrally populated area near New York City. I mean, really an exurb of New York City, you know, one of the population hubs of the U.S.
Yeah.
Does it die down at all, you know, in the late fall, early winter? Like,
yeah, it will.
December
it will.
To February time.
Yeah, it'll die down, definitely. But, I mean, I'm sure today it was packed, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It was mobbed. Sure, it was mobbed. What are they getting as far as price on tee times, like, in this off season now? Deeply discounted, semi-discounted?
Yeah, like $50 maybe.
Okay, all right.
$55, I would say, yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's awful. If you've got a day, like, I mean, gosh, if you have a day like today and you can get out there, do it. That's phenomenal. So I got to ask you, you know, we mentioned that you held the Women's Amateur Publing Championship there, USGA event. So this is a brawny course. Like, it can be stretched. What are we getting in terms of distances for tee boxes? How many tee boxes are there? You know, what are the levels varying from let's say tips to forward tees?
Yeah, so there's five sets of tees. The back can get up to almost 7,100.
Okay.
And the fronts are like 52, 53. So there's a good range. And then, you know, you got the 6,600, 62, and 56. So there's a good range. You're going to find a spot to play from, definitely.
And are we, I mean, you said 350 acres. That's, I don't care how many nines you have. That's a lot of land. You know, you could have five or six nines on that size land. Are we dealing with big wide open fairways? Like, what's the course layout like? Is it a bomber's paradise where you can hit a fairway even if you're offline a bit? Are they difficult greens? Are we really heavily bunkered? What's kind of like the layout vibe of the nines?
Yeah, so it was designed by Herdson and Fry, who did Erin Hills. So, I mean, obviously they have some design pedigree to them. Yeah, the fairways are kind of wide. They're like 30, I would say 30-ish yards wide. So that's pretty wide for some fairways. Then there's a few yards of rough. And then you get to the fescue. And so, I mean, if you're a little offline, you could kind of get away with it, find a fairway, find a rough. But if you're offline a lot, you're going to be, you know, either dropping a ball or hunting for a while and hopefully not getting any ticks or anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, it's funny. I mentioned that to somebody that lived, where is he from? I think he's from Nebraska. And I was like, yeah, you always got to worry about ticks in the summertime. He's like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy what different parts of the country have to worry about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sure. You go down to Florida and they're like, oh, don't go in the woods to find the ball because you may get bit by a snake. And I'm like, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we used to have a home down in Sunset Beach, North Carolina, which is like the North-South Carolina border. And the rule with my boys playing some of these courses, like, I don't care if you can see your ball, if it's at the edge of a pond, like, you're not getting it.
You're not getting it.
Because there's always gators around, you know?
Exactly.
And you tell that to someone that lives in Maine, and they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
What do you mean? I'm going in and playing that if I can see it.
It's a $5 Pro V1 right there. So are the nines, like, do all the nines differ, or do they have kind of the same general flow? Like, if you're playing the lake nine, you know, is it one of those things where, yeah, there's a lot of lakes on it, and the meadow nine is wide open?
Yeah, so they're kind of well named for what they are. I mean, the meadow is kind of spread out, I would say, over a meadow. The ridge kind of is all like on the ridge, and the lake has a lot of lakes. So you kind of get what you're expecting with the nines. I mean, they're not totally different. You know, they're not going to be like, oh my gosh, this nine is so different from the next nine. They kind of combine well to make a nice cohesive experience. So you're not going to be there. It's not the tale of two nines when you go play. They all mesh together pretty well.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's cool, because I played plenty of courses where you switch over to a nine and you're like, how is this even the same course?
Yeah. It's like you packed up your clubs and went somewhere else for a nine.
Yeah. Which is crazy, because it's on the same plot of land.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're forcing us to play something that doesn't really fit the natural landscape. I've never liked that much.
Yeah, no, it's pretty well laid out over the land. The ridge nine is a little tough. just because it's, you know, plays along the ridge and it's got some funky holes on it. This is my course. And I'm here to kind of promote it and you know, make it look good. But there's some funky holes in that Ridge 9. So I've been playing there for years and it's been the bane of my existence, man. So every time I'm like, oh, you're going to play the Ridge. And I'm like, ugh. but you know, when they have tournaments at Neshanic, I mean, we host the Met Public Links, and if you know anything about the Met section, yeah, it's massive. There was a New Jersey State Open there in 2019. They play the Meadow and the Lake Nines as the tournament nines.
Gotcha. I was just my buddy who I was talking about there. Podcast episode got messed up. He's a pro up in Massachusetts, and he says the Met and Philly are, you know, probably hands down, at least east of the Mississippi, the two best, you know, maybe in the country, honestly.
Maybe. I mean, you get some names that come out of, you know, those tournaments, and you're like, yeah, they're going to be on tour next year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's for damn sure. So let's dive a little bit kind of into your golfing background a little bit, because I want to ask you kind of the general vibe of the place. But I always like to preface that by, you know, kind of knowing what your background in golf is, how good of a golfer you are, you know, because a lot of times you get opinions that are skewed and someone's like, well, not a good golfer, so I like going to crap courses, right? They feel like they're not good enough to play a nice course. And then conversely, you get people that are times like, well, you know, I'm a +3. I grew up as a country club kid. And like, I would never step on your municipal course. Like, okay, cool. Like, I see it from your perspective as well. So what's your background, Bri? Where are you at right now as far as a player? Do you compete? Is it just for fun? What's that look like?
Yeah, so I always tell people that I think, you know, I think I'm a scratch, but I play like a 10, so I'm about a 5 or a 6, which is kind of where we're at, you know? We're about a 5, you know, I would say 6. It's been steady since November. So that's good. but I grew up playing public courses. Like I was telling you, the Somerset County courses, I grew up playing those, the public ones. So, you know, I'm a big fan of public golf and big supporter of the public golf, and it's definitely needed. And so that's why I love Neshanic Valley, because it's a place that anyone can go play, and, everyone's welcome to play there. So, and it's such a phenomenal place to have that anybody can play.
Now, you mentioned you played in high school. Did you play past that? Did you play in college at all, or?
No.
Okay. So the vibe of the entire place, obviously public course, so you wouldn't expect it to be, you know, stuck up and stuffy, but I've been to plenty of public courses that truly believe they're, you know, top tier private clubs. Their course conditions and the people there would probably say differently, but, you know, some people believe what they want to believe. You know, so for an outsider, for someone maybe making a trip to see family in Central Jersey, or they're going to New York and they've heard about this course from the podcast or something like that, you know, what are they kind of expecting in terms of the overall vibe there when they arrive?
Yeah, it's pretty well professionally run. I mean, they got the tee time systems, and they got the iPads out there when you go to check in, so that you don't have to give them the receipt to tear anymore. You know, definitely making some improvements that way. It's like I said, you know, public course. It's not stuck up. You know, people are going to welcome you. It's you know, you walk onto the first tee, you shake. If you're out there, you know, not as a foursome, you shake their hand and you go off and play. It's kind of laid back, and it's a really special place that we have in Central Jersey.
Do you get your like group of old New Jersey retired union workers with their bagels and coffee in the morning in the back of their cars before they tee off?
Everybody. Oh yeah. We get a little bit of everybody.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Yep.
I love that. That's about as authentic as you can get to the Northeast, you know?
Yep. You get your pork roll or Taylor ham, egg and cheese in the parking lot. I don't want to offend anybody with whatever kind of you call that meat, but you know.
Yeah, some Philly people would have a word to say, and some people in the South would as well. That's funny. You mentioned practice facilities, right? Yeah. You know, I know they have the short course, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't even realize they had a range or anything, because I always thought like that was their short game area, if you will. So they've got three nines, the academy, which is their short course, if you will, and then they have a whole entire practice facility as well.
Yeah, so there's three like pitching and chipping greens in the practice facility. There's a putting green, a double-sided driving range, because the way the range sets up is the learning center and academy has the one side, and like the if you're warming up to go out to play the championship course, that has the other side. So it's pretty well set up that way. Bunkers. And then there's two additional practice holes there, that are like, one's like 130 yards and one's about 210. There's three sets of tees on those too. So there's a lot of opportunity to practice. Even if you're not, don't want to spend the $15 to go walk the academy course, you can go out to the practice facility there. There's they offer day passes for the academy or for the practice facility. And you could also be a member of the practice facility, which gets you unlimited access, unlimited range balls for that. It's like $500 for the year. So,
okay. And what's a day pass run like for someone that's going to play as a guest?
Yeah, I think it's like $20. But okay. if you go out and play on any of the courses, I think they'll let you practice, obviously, on the practice facility.
So this is not a course. Like, this is legit golf facility.
There's a Callaway, it's Callaway Center. So they do fittings for Callaway and Pings there. They have two indoor simulators. I don't know if they still use them because since COVID, but right. Yeah, it's a golf place. If you want to get better at golf or just even mess around and hit a few balls, it's probably a place to go seek out.
So conceivably, I mean, literally, someone could spend their entire day there.
You could spend your entire day there.
And probably not get bored.
Yeah. Just keep moving around and finding a new place to hit from. And you won't get bored.
All right. So you mentioned memberships before. Do they do memberships to the course as well, or is it just practice facility memberships?
Just the practice facility.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's, honestly, there's two trains of thought with that. There's some people that are like, well, I want to be a member somewhere. I should be able to. But I always look at it like, well, now there's more tee times available to the public, and member X doesn't always have Tuesday, 9 a.m. every Tuesday from like here into perpetuity,
Yeah. I know one of my buddies is a member somewhere and he's like, I don't know how this guy gets his tee time every week. He never shows up,
So we talked about this being a place that you could literally go sun up to sun down. We're going to need to eat. We're going to need to drink. I'm going to assume, but you're the expert. Fill me in on this. What's the food scene like there? Is it really simplistic stuff? Is it an actual restaurant?
Yeah, there's a grill room there in the clubhouse. Kind of goes through some outside vendors that kind of change over based on how it's municipally run course, right? The bid has to come in for a certain amount of contracts and stuff. So, it's always a struggle, Dan, when the contracts change over and the liquor license hasn't changed over quite yet. So you're like, oh man, I needed a beer post round. But hopefully that kind of went away. The same vendors there this year, I think. So that'll be good. But basic grill room stuff, burgers, hot dogs, chicken fingers, sandwiches, nothing too fancy, but you're going to get what you need in there.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Now also I'm going to assume there's no like county pool there or anything, right? Like it's just golf.
Just golf.
Okay.
Just golf. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty neat. One of the things that I've always loved about that, I think it's just my fascination with birds and owls, is obviously their logo, their mascot, if you will. Do you have any insight as to why that was picked? Is it like an owl that's indigenous to the area? They found one on the farm. Is there any cool story with that? Or,
I wish I knew, but every county course of the five has a different animal as a mascot or like logo. So I don't know why they picked which one they did, but that's a pretty cool logo, I think, for a public course.
Yeah. I mean, and for people that are going to go, check it out online, it's an owl with some I'm going to assume tall fescue behind it. You got the little flag next to it. You know, nice, neat, simple, kind of everything you need, you know?
Looks good on the shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And so with that being said, looking good in a shirt, what's the apparel? What's the merch look like in there? Is it an afterthought or is it something that the county, you could tell, actually put some time into?
So, like I said before there, it's a lot of Callaway stuff.
Okay.
It's Callaway, you know, the academy there is kind of a Callaway place. So a lot of Callaway stuff. Yeah. Most times of the year, it's pretty well stocked. I it's hard to tell with everything, you know, the COVID, you know, supply chain issues and stuff, if that was kind of an issue that they were having in the past few years, but it's, I mean, you're usually going to find something there, especially in the middle of the summer. You're going to find something there that you'll probably like if you're a visitor.
And does it run the full gamut, like, you know, from pin flags to ball markers to polos, pullovers?
Yeah, they got like jackets and pullovers. And I don't know if they got pin flags because I wish we had pin flags. I got a whole bunch of pin flags.
I see them all back there, which is.
But yeah, you know, mainly polos and pullovers and stuff.
Gotcha. You personally out there, any favorite holes, like any holes where, you know, you'd put them up against some of the best golf holes you've ever played? Like, what sticks out in your mind for that course?
Yeah. So I really like the Lake Nine. I mean, it's my favorite nine of the three. Hole seven is a shorter dogleg left par four. It's got a lake around the entire right side and bunkers in the dog leg on the left. But it's, if you're depending on what tee you're playing and depending on the wind, you could kind of go over those bunkers and get real close to the green. Or if you flail it out to the right, you're going to get in the water. And it's just a really pretty place on the course. It's kind of it's the furthest hole away from the clubhouse, kind of down in the valley. So you're kind of secluded from everyone else and everybody else on the course. So it's a pretty good hole. When we had the women's public links there, they moved the tees up a few times for them, especially in the match play. And it was interesting to see the competitors' strategy. You know, am I going to go for it from, I mean, these girls can hit it 250, no problem. Right.
Yeah. So am I going to go? Too, like on a
rope. My God. Oh my God. I was a spot, you know, on a different topic here. I was a spotter for the women's public links there. I didn't even need to be there because they were in the fairways. Like, what am I even doing here? I get my free hot dog for volunteering, yeah. You know?
That's like just as useless of a job as like the guy who holds up the quiet signs at the 16 at the waste mat.
Oh yeah, like why is that guy even there? I mean, it's a cool story, I guess. I was that guy, but you know, like, but yeah. So it was interesting to see the kind of strategies on that whole seven on the lake with, you know, seeing if they'll go for it or lay up. And it's a good hole for some strategy depending on the wind and depending on what, if you're playing the right tees, it's a good hole to figure out, you know, especially late in a round to kind of get a decision in your mind.
Yeah, gotcha. Now, when you were the spotter there and kind of watching all that occur, did that change your strategy at all for any holes that, you know, the way that you play those holes since you've been playing them for so long? I know sometimes we get into these routines and it's like, okay, I pull driver out no matter what on this hole.
Yeah, what I learned from watching that is just hit the fairway. Hit it straight.
Easy enough, right?
Easy enough. No, but it's interesting you asked that question just because, you know, not just from watching, you know, them play, but just in general with all the statistics and, you know, math behind golf now and all the insights that you can get from that. And it's definitely, all that stuff's definitely changed the way I think I play. You know, it's more, sometimes it's been like, oh, just lay back because you're going to have you don't lay back to 100 yards anymore. You send it regardless and deal with the consequences later, you know?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I've been preaching, you know, I don't hit it a ton at all, but I've been preaching murder ball to people for years. I'm like, just get up there and kill it. Like who wouldn't rather have 40 yards in than 140? Like no matter what, I don't care how good of an iron player you are or a wedge player. Like you can bump and run it 40 yards, you know? It's like,
Hell, you could putt it 40 yards.
You could putt it 40 yards. You're right. Yeah, I mean, like, it's what I preach to my son now, and he's a junior golfer who's, you know, getting college looks, and it's like, dude, just get longer. I'm long enough. No, you're not. Like, nobody's long enough, right? Because the longer you are, the less you have in.
Right.
And the more successful you're going to be. It's just, yeah, you're right. It's just math, pure math. So let me get you kind of out of here on this one here. What favorite memories do you have of this course? And this could be anything. I mean, it could be great shots. It could be rounds with buddies. I mean, I asked this question at the end of all these episodes, and I've literally run the gamut from like emotional stories to like, dude, this is my place where I had my first birdie ever. You know, I made this miraculous par save that I can still replay every, you know, second of the shot in my head. So what's one or two of your favorite memories playing this course for these last few years, last 20 years?
Yeah. So the cool thing about the golf course there, and every Somerset County golf course does this, is they have what's called a club championship.
Okay.
You know, so we, I've didn't even come close to winning it ever, but obviously, but it kind of gives it a country club adjacent feel, you know.
Yeah,
you get the same guys that play in all five of the tournaments, right, throughout the county. So you kind of get your group. And I just remember I was, you know, one of the early groups out on the second day. It's a 36 hole Saturday Sunday thing. I was probably having a transfusion watching the last group come in. And this guy comes in and needs an eagle on nine lake to win, which is it's 525 yards. There's a marsh in the middle, so about 310 from the tee downhill. There's a marsh, and then it's back up the hill to the green. That's probably the hardest green on the course. And I just remember watching from the top of the hill, watching come in, and I'll be damned if he didn't get that eagle to win. And it was probably like, you know, for you know, little county tournament. I mean, it was probably, you know, it was the craziest thing that, you know, you see that at PGA Tour events. You don't see that at a county event, you know? I mean, and that was we were all going crazy, and just cause how often do you see that, you know?
No, especially in competition, like especially when something's on the line and it matters.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I think for a personal memory, I made an eagle on the ridge nine, the ridge two. So I was like, I started off on the first hole. That was pretty cool. You know, getting a par, and then, you know, even through one, perfect.
Yeah.
Then you head up, to the second hole, and now I'm 2 under through two, and that's probably the best I've ever started. So, it's a par four, and I just made 110 yard, rolled it right in there. It was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that was, you know, probably 2 under through two is probably the best, you know, I've ever started. So that was probably a memory that I'll always have.
Nice. I love that. Well, I lie. Before I get you out of here, do a little self-promotion, dude. You know, you've got a great Instagram site, From the Drop Zone. You know, let people know kind of everything that you do on that.
Yeah, so it's From the Drop Zone on Instagram and Twitter. I also have a blog. It's fromthedropzone.com. And, you know, YouTube channel. Yep. I'm actually going down to play some courses in Harbortown this weekend, so I'll be getting some content. Cool. but yeah, so basically it's the idea of it is kind of conversations that you would have at the 19th hole, right? Like, this is what I like about golf. This is what's stupid about golf. It's golf is objectively stupid, right? But, you know, what are your favorite holes? Why is this a good hole? Why is this a bad hole? Why do we love golf? You know, what makes a good golf course? What makes a good golf hole? All that kind of stuff that, you know, you would just have a conversation with your friends drinking a beer or transfusion or your beverage of choice. That's kind of the angle that we're going for. I'm actually running an event at Neshannock Valley in May. So
great segue. You beat me to it.
So we're going to play two different kinds of formats, nine holes of scramble and nine holes of best ball. So that's, just a place that people can get together and meet each other and play some golf and hopefully have a nice time. And basically what the whole, why we come together and why we love the game is things like that.
Yeah. And that's the Parkway Playoff, right? May 13th. Yep. At Neshannock. And if you need information, I mean, literally just go to Instagram from the Drop Zone, DM Brian, but yeah, everything's on it. So it's like a North Jersey versus South Jersey, style format. And what I love is he put on, like, if you're not from the area, you'll be an adopted Jerseyan for the day.
We'll adopt you. you may have to have a little, we may have to give you like an attitude class or something, but we'll adopt you.
But, 5 minutes in, people fit right in. You know what I mean? Forget about it. They're right in. That's awesome. Well, Brian, I can't thank you enough. I know taking an hour out of people's lives is always difficult. And I'm always so grateful that people are willing to do it. And so hopefully people got a little bit more about Neshannock out of this. Maybe enough where they're like, hey, I'm going to sign up, play in his event, and follow along. So seriously, go to YouTube, like, subscribe, obviously go to Instagram, follow along, and see what else he's got cooking up in the works. Brian, thank you so much for today, man.
You want two name drops from the Neshannock Valley at the New Jersey Amateur from 2019 before we go?
Oh, of course I do.
So Chris Goddard came in fourth in that one. He went to Oklahoma and is now killing it on tour.
Yep.
And Jack Wall came in a tie for second, and he just won the collegiate showcase.
Playing in
Riviera and met Tiger Woods this week. So two names from my course that are doing big things they didn't grow up, but from that tournament that was in at my course are moving on to big things. So we saw them come through, and
yeah, that's pretty
cool to see him move on. Yeah.
What's crazy is, and I guess you can, Instagram knows the algorithm or whatnot, but I swear to God, I think like between you and Mike from the Drop Pod, like my Instagram is just flooded with Jack Wall pictures, meeting Tiger and videos. And I had no idea who this kid even was. And then I just see like New Jersey, Jack Wall, Tiger Woods, LA, New Jersey. I say, okay, Instagram, you got the algorithm.
You got, yeah.
Like you knew I was going to talk to Brian this week. So,
yeah. But yeah, like I said, seeing those two guys' names on the leaderboard going back to, it's like, oh yeah, they did pretty well at that course at Neshannock. So yeah, it's always cool to see people come through who played well. You're at a course that, a major tournament to go on and do well. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. And hey, follow, this will come out obviously later. But who knows, maybe, top 10 or something for Jack Wall. And you'll be like, oh my God, those guys talked about him before it even happened, psychics. There you go.
There we go.
All right. Awesome, dude. Well, thank you again, Brian. I appreciate everything, my man.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it, Dan.
All right, people. So either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
Podcast patrons, Leave the Pin Podcast is super stoked to have Gashouse Golf as their official clothing sponsor for the podcast. Go to gashousegolf.com, find them on all forms of social media at Gashouse Golf. Gashouse makes affordable, eye-catching, one-of-a-kind polos that help you stand out from the crowd. Why spend $75, $100, or even more on polos that make you look like everybody else when you can get one at an affordable price from Gashouse Golf? Hit the ball a mile and look damn good doing it.